Doing good, good. Well, I have something here. Now, there are some serious farmers in our church. Right, Vince? Now, we have a little farm. We have a really, really small farm compared to Vince's farm and some other farms. But I have learned some things here in my 5 years of having a little farm. I have two things in here. Right? Hey, Eleanor, how are you doing today? Good. So, do you see these are two different things? Does anyone know what they're called, the two different things? Are they the same thing? They're not. What are they? What's this here?
Straw.
Straw. It's straw, and it looks a lot like this. What's this? Grass. This is hay. This is hay. I will try to not get the church dirty up here with hay and straw. But you know how that goes, right, Vince? These look the same, and for a while I would just get them all messed up. I would say, hey, go get a bale of hay or go get a bale of straw. But they're different things, right? So this is straw. This is more for animals to keep warm and lay on at night. It's not really so good for them to eat, is it? There's not a whole lot of nourishment in there. Now this here, yeah, what's that? What's his name or her name? No name yet, okay. We'll work on that, okay? Yeah, this is hay. This is more for animals to eat because it provides, yeah, cows, yeah, for nourishment. Horses, yeah, they like hay. Sheep, yeah. And pigs, yeah. Do you have any animals like that? You gonna live on a farm?
Yeah, me too.
I bet your mom and dad want to get all kind of animals, don't they? Well, you know what? We as people and you as kids, we have the same thing, right? Like, we're watching this cartoon called Frozen with my grandson. And it's kind of a cool story. It has, like, a little bit of a lesson in. And, but for real nourishment, we want hay, right? And where do we get our real nourishment? From the Bible? Right, that's where we get our true spiritual nourishment. And so that's why we want to, as we get older, we want to read our Bibles and learn about our Bibles. Right? We lost someone. That door is open? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Fresh air up here? Okay. Well, you know what? So we want to read our Bibles and learn about Jesus in the Bible, because that's where we get our spiritual nourishment. Okay? So let's pray. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get a snack. Unless you don't want a snack today. You do want one? Okay. Ready? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love for us. And while hay, while straw is good for something, hay is good for our nourishment, and the Bible is our hay that we grow in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I do have a question. If Vince is going to give everyone a hay ride, but then decides hay is too expensive for that, he wants to use straw, is it called a straw ride?
What the heck?
Go ahead, you get a snag. Okay. I didn't know if that joke would fly or not, but you never know sometimes. Well, as I picked my text for this morning, it was about 13 degrees when I was deciding which text I was going to pick. And so I skipped right past the winter texts and went to a spring text. And so my text for this morning is going to be from Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read the text in just a minute, but I had the first time I got to see something for the very first time last year at this time when I took a new position. And I'm going to tell you what that is. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and if you haven't seen it, try to make the trip. But let's pray first. Father, thank you for this day so far. Thank you, Father, for our song and our prayers and the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the laughter of children. And now, Father, as you look into your Word, may you bless it and may you speak to it. May you speak to us through your Word, God, as you do faithfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I finally, while I'm still in my 50s, and that does not have a long way to go, I got to see the Grand Canyon. Has anyone not seen the Grand Canyon? Make the trip if you can. Now, if you do make the trip, or if you have made the trip, you will take your little camera, take as many pictures as you want. It will not do justice to being there. There's something about being there and seeing that, the majesty and the beauty of that beautiful, beautiful place. And still, wow, I was overwhelmed and even humbled by the grandeur of the Grand Canyon. It seemed like there was something still not totally right. And I think that what I'm talking about is what the Apostle Paul is kind of alluding to in the text. I'm going to read to you chapter 8, verses 18 through 25 of Romans. For I consider the suffering of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. This is important. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption in the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know now that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in the hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does it one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. I was reflecting on creation in the beauty of God's creation. We know that creation is beautiful. We know that we can, in some way, we can connect with God, right? We can connect with God in some way when we are out in creation. I had a Niagara Falls experience. I went to Niagara Falls. This is about 13, 14 years ago. My wife and I were going to a worship conference up in Toronto. And we stopped at Niagara Falls. And so they have these little tours where you can go down and stand on a rock that is close to the falls. Okay? Now, I'm heading to a worship conference, so my mind is thinking about God a lot and meditating on the things of God. And there I'm standing on this rock with this pounding water that would easily crush me. I'm not that far. Well, maybe from me to that door, they're standing close. What hit my heart is a sense of the Trinity. You're thinking, the Trinity? Well, there we have, in the sense, God the Father, this mighty, powerful waterfall that would crush me. But there I am standing on a rock ledge that I could walk out and I could approach that. And that rock is Jesus Christ. the mighty power of God the Father in that mighty waterfall, me being able to approach it with being on Christ the rock. And if you're standing there, even though you're I don't know, maybe 20 feet away, there's still this spray. The spray of the Holy Spirit. The gentleness of the Holy Spirit. And that was just one instance where I encountered God in creation. One of my favorite classes at Asbury Seminary was science and the Christian faith. And what I really appreciated about that class was science and faith are not incompatible. They complement each other. The church should embrace science. As we learn about more science, as we gain more information, we learn more about God's creation and how marvelous He is. We should embrace science. But another thing is, creation is broken. Creation is not quite right. Give me proof. How many people have had to put down an animal in the last year? There's your proof. Creation is broken. How many people get attacked by a bull? Instead of riding the bull. Work proof. Creation is broken. You know, I have my own, my little farm story. We went down to Washington to see a football game. This was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. We were going to then go over to Annapolis, Maryland for the rest of the weekend. And my son called and said, "Dad, out of your 14 chickens, two of them look really sick." I go, "Okay, well, just keep us updated on what's going on." Then he called back a few hours later, I think five are sick and they're starting to die. So we left. Some type of a coccidius, some type of a bacteria, and we lost all but two of those chickens. While creation is beautiful and we marvel at it, it is not quite right yet still. It is still broken. Paul talks about creation itself is longing for the eager return of Christ, when everything will be restored as it ought to be. So there we have humanity broken, taking care, and we should care for God's creation. I don't care where you are on the political line, whether you're super right or super left or somehow moderately or right smack in the middle, we should be careful and want to tend to God's creation that He has given us. But we do see that creation is longing and eagerly is longing for its full redemption that we have in Christ. May we care for God's creation, but may we also realize one thing. You and I are part of creation. We are the only part of God's creation that was made in the image of God. Humanity. Humanity. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share God. Father, we enjoy the beautiful creation. May we marvel at those beautiful sunsets we see looking to the west, Father, in the evening. May we marvel at the starry skies at night. And while, Father, there's so much we don't understand, may we recognize that in the beauty of those things, the fact that we find them full of wonder and awe is proof that you are behind all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.